Yep.
Bo Hess.
And now, the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Maz.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
We'll go right back to the phones here, Maz, unless you have an opening thought for this hour.
No opening thought. I'm still trying to absorb everything that Paul Perillo said so I can be smarter next week.
Billy in Burlington on Pat's Jags. Go ahead, Billy.
Paul Perillo's exactly right on this Jacksonville team. They're a fraud. They had one more win than Tennessee. All right? Or they would have been a wild card. Tennessee beat them twice and beat them like a drum on the road at Jacksonville early in the year. This team's a fraud. They're going to get pummeled by New England. They're taking no prisoners because all their coaches are leaving and they want to prove something. I'm telling you. Just like Tennessee last week, they took care of them after the first touchdown. They were never in doubt. Same thing with this game.
Okay, Billy, I'm with you. I think the Jaguars are the Titans. I think they're the same team. Same caliber of team. Murray?
No, defense is good and you're going to get a game. And if it's about record, what were the Giants' records in 2007 and 2011? Pop quiz. 10-6 and 9-7. How'd that work out for you? Oh, who was the head of those teams? Oh, who was that? Ooh. Ah, who's that sitting up there at Gillette Stadium this Sunday? I'm going to write my notes and I'm going to send them down to Doug Marrone. Just keep blitzing Brady. His hand is hurt.
And then Bill's going to knock out the communication system so you can't do that anymore.
Murray is afraid of Tom Coughlin. We spent a lot of time on that today. Tony and Dedham waiting patiently to talk about Anthony Davis. You watched that last night, Tony? You like Anthony Davis? Tony! Okay, and he wasn't holding all that time.
Tell you, those turnaround jumpers with Davis, to me, is what impressed me. Those turnarounds. Like, nobody does that anymore.
45 and 16. He has range. He can shoot outside. He's dominant inside. I loved the effort. The effort, to me, I don't watch him every night, so maybe he's not like that every night, but I thought he was relentless on the boards. And when you stack him next to that bum, DeMarcus Cousins, it really stands out. Because that DeMarcus Cousins, and again, I'm sorry I ever said I wanted him. I was wrong about that. What a stiff that bum is.
Thank you for apologizing.
What? You were right about that. What a piece of... What a bum that DeMarcus Cousins is. Halfway through the season, he's out of shape. But anyway, Anthony Davis. Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis.
Yes, I would do it.
Nope. Still can't have Jason Tatum. No thanks.
Still?
I'd do it.
Changed your mind, huh?
I did. Sitting courtside and watching him for the full game was just... It was impressive.
What, Murray, what's Jason Tatum's ceiling? Is it Anthony Davis? Could he ever be as good as Anthony Davis?
As good as talented? Probably not, but I think more consistent, more reliable, and I think you can get 25 a night out of Jason Tatum. And Davis, to me, the injury concerns, and I know, like, just as a side, the injury concerns, more than anything else, if he's this talented and he's this transcendent, he's gotten his team to the playoffs once. That's not a concern for people?
This guy's a game changer. If you can get Davis, you got to get him.
Courtside seats, Jimmy? Jesus. What kind of info are you getting?
So he's not my only player, though.
Like, apparently, I make it all up, Jim.
I mean, if I'm a lousy team, I guess no single player really does. I mean, he's a single young player. I don't know. I'm putting him next to Kyrie Irving. So this is what I'm talking about. So am I better off Kyrie Anthony Davis or Kyrie Jason Tatum?
Oh, please, it's not even debatable.
To me, it fits much better with Anthony Davis.
Yes, of course it does.
And I mean, much better. I mean, Tatum's going to be a great player and all that. It'll work with him, too. I'm just telling you, if that's the ask, if that's what I have to give to get Anthony Davis, yeah, you bet.
Well, the Lakers pick is obviously going to be involved as well, right?
So Lakers pick and Marcus Smart.
So if it falls the way that it does, you can probably get one of these 7-footers, like Mo Bamba, DeAndre Ayton. Is he going to be Anthony Davis?
So you're, no. Right, you're acting like Anthony Davis falls out of the draft every year.
No, but I'd rather with the build with these kids. I see a lot of upside with them. I like this team.
Joey and Nashua, go ahead on the football.
You know, Mike, you can't have it both ways. Who are the best four coaches out of the eight in the divisional round? You talk about wanting to play better teams, but they get the worst coaches. You rather play Tomlin, you rather play Zimmer. You rather play Tomlin, you want to play Coughlin or Marrone. It's like it's either one or the other.
I don't quite get your point.
Well, you're talking about wanting to play better teams, and we're playing tomato cans going down the end. But we're playing the best coaches left.
All these coaches suck. There's no good coaches, Joey. Who's a
Doug? No doubt about it. But who are the best four coaches out of the eight left out of the divisional round?
So who are none of them are any good. I mean, this is what I'm trying to tell you.
Zimmer can coach. You're wrong about Zimmer.
I mean, we'll see.
Who are the best four?
He's unproven. Zimmer's unproven. To me, the best coaches are Sean Payton. And again, if I'm giving you the next group below Belichick, and believe me, the group is a Grand Canyon. It's freaking from here to Mars to the number two coach. But it's some sort of group of Sean Payton, Harbaugh,
Pete
Carroll, Andy Reid. Like, that's the next group of coaches, right?
Yes.
Doug Marrone's not on that list. I'm sorry. And Peterson, I don't know. And Zimmer, I don't know. They might be. But they're unproven. They each have like one playoff win to their resume. Impossible to know what those guys.
No, they're unproven. I'll give you unproven on those guys for sure. And look, see, I almost look at it the opposite as the caller does. You say, well, these are the good coaches left. You're missing the point. Pittsburgh's stacked. That's bad coaching.
Atlanta's stacked.
Pittsburgh is, that was bad coaching. It's not even mediocre coach. That was bad. You have to really screw that up to not be in the AFC Championship game.
Pittsburgh is stacked. Dallas is stacked. Atlanta is stacked. Philadelphia is still stacked. They lost their quarterback. But there's a lot of very, very talented teams. Oakland should be stacked. They should be the next team ready to go. Kansas City has a lot of talent
Kansas
on that
City's
team.
Loaded. Yeah, they're loaded.
A lot of talent. No one can keep it together. No one can figure it out. No one. No one other than you. It's not a talent thing. The coaching thing, and there's just not, there's not even a decent second tier of coaches. I just tried to give you the second tier. I don't like any of those guys. I don't want Andy Reid anywhere near my team. I don't want Pete Carroll running my program. Sean Payton scares the crap out of me. Like, I don't like any of them. Those all could be the second. But John Harbaugh has missed the playoffs 3 straight years. I want him to coach my team. He might be the second best guy in the league. There are no good coaches other than Bill. None. There are none. That's brutal. Speaking of good coaches, Wayne and Grafton, you give Claude Julien a nice big wave tonight at the TV?
I just have a quick thought before I even get to him. Wouldn't that be something if we got to see a horrendous Hoyer horror show on Sunday? That'd be a good job by Mr. Kraft, making that trade. Now, on to, Claude. Claude, great coach. I liked him. Thanks for the memories, but I get tired of hearing everybody bending over for him. Now, won a Stanley Cup, but he's not God. He's not Scotty Bowman. Saturday night, I watched the Bruins game. That was a great game because I like the hockey. Then I switched to the Pats because I assumed, that they were going to win. And, of course, then they had that kind of a dud on Monday. And, of course, Sagan scores the goal. And then as the game ends, the camera pans over to behind the glass. They show these four attractive young ladies all with Sagan shirts on. They're all giggling and laughing. I bet the cleanup crew had fun with the squeegees after they left. Peace out.
Okay, yeah, hide the women. Sagan scored the game winner, for sure. Lock the doors, hide the women. Sagan just scored the game winner. Tonight on the Bees, again, I said this last week, I'll say it again. Cassie better have him ready to go, because Claude, Claude's got a hair across his ass for Cam and Sweeney and everything that happened here, even though the Bruins have been proven to be 1,000,000% right, 1,000,000% right. And it was the right move, and it took too long, but it was the absolute right move. They have nothing to be ashamed of or apologize for, but Claude would love nothing more than to shove it up Cam's mail chute. So he's going to get the Canadians played hard last Saturday. They're going to play hard tonight. They're going to empty the bucket tonight. So the Bruins better be ready, because the Bruins could easily lose if they don't show up.
I tell you what, I mean, the Bruins are due to come back to earth here a little bit. Nobody can play like they've played for as long as they've played, but I think they win tonight. I mean, that game the other night, they didn't play good. That game the other day against Dallas, they didn't play great. They woke up a little bit in the middle of it and got back into it, but they didn't play great. I got to believe they're going to come out a little angrier.
Okay, all the Bruins coverage I've read in the last week, today, what you're going to hear tomorrow, is anyone going to mention that he's in 27th place? Is someone just going to, in a passing reference, I'm just looking for a line. Or just a Claude Julien, whose Canadians are in 27th place, Just give me that.
Yeah, Felger, you're wrong again. It's God Julien.
Julien, who is now coaching his third straight playoff-less team. Claude Julien, who for the third straight year may miss the playoffs, coaching a full season, That's all I'm looking for. Can someone just tell me the facts of Claude Julien? That he took a team that had 103 points last year and has them on pace for, 78 this year. They're in 27th place in the NHL. Can I just get a passing reference to that? Just someone to tell me what his record is. Can I get a Bruins writer just to give me his record? That's all I want, his record.
Who's the one to do that?
Not his record 5 years ago. Not the Jack Adams in 2013. Not the Stanley Cup in 11. I know that. That was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I want to know his record today.
Matt Kalman would do that. Kalman would.
I want to. Kalman, DJ, Fluto, someone. Just a passing reference. Claude Julien, whose team is in 27th place in the 31-team NHL, is back in Boston tonight. That's all I'm looking for.
My money's on Kalma.
You don't have to opine.
Kalma would do it.
You don't have to editorialize. Just give me the fact.
Kalman's got an edge.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
When Tom Brady faces, in the playoffs, a team that's had 48 or more regular season sacks, so an elite pass rush, in seven games, Brady has 9 touchdowns and 9 picks and a passer rating of 77. Jacksonville is the best pass rush in the NFL. Brady, remember the last time we saw him in Denver? Look at Brady when he faces a team in the playoffs that is an elite pass rushing team. He struggles. Do you think they can beat New England?
I think they will beat New England. I really do. I've been on Jacksonville all year. I've been watching that team defensively, what they did. And the other part is the defense didn't do their job yesterday, right? Okay. And they won the game. So not only did the defense not do its part, but Blake Bortles now has some confidence going in. He played out of his mind. And here's his other stat. When Blake Bortles doesn't throw an interception, you know what the Jacksonville Jaguars winning record is?
What?
10-0. So when he doesn't make that big mistake, they win behind this guy. If he goes up to New England and delivers 4 or 5 of those big plays that he made yesterday in Pittsburgh, they have a shot. I think they will win and beat New England.
How do you feel about that analysis? When Tom Brady plays a team, a big sacking team, and so they drew the line at 48 or more regular season sacks. When Brady faces a team in the postseason that has had 48 or more regular season sacks, Brady has 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and a 77 quarterback rating. I'd like to know the record in those games. You know, do they still win them? Or, you know, which games were Denver and which games were the Jet? You know, like, were they wins or losses? I'd like to know that. But either way, that's simply put, when you face a team with a good pass rush, it gives Tom Brady problems in the playoffs.
I bet you a couple of those were Baltimore. I'd be willing to bet that. But, yes, I think there's absolute there's material there or meat there. Like, this to me is, it just proves that Brady is not infallible. He's not, you know, inhuman. He's the type of guy that if you get in his face and knock him around a little bit, and maybe Coughlin's got the secret to this too, especially early, that you can disrupt his rhythm, you know, and then all of a sudden the throws for him even get a little bit harder, and he gets sped up and all of that. I think there's absolute legitimacy to that stat. I mean, how can there not be? Like, you know, you have you go up against a pass rush, it changes everything. And you with the Patriots, you have to be able to do it with fewer guys, meaning no more than 4. Once you start sending extra guys, Brady will shred you. He will shred you.
Okay, so Murray is giving the Jaguars a real chance. Jimmy Stewart is giving the Jaguars a real chance. Are you picking the Jaguars, Jay Stu?
Yes.
Now, just the points, or you pick them outright to win?
Outright.
Wow.
You have the Jags outright?
Outright.
Why is that? Because of them or because of you?
Because it's good for the show.
Attaboy. I'll take it.
It's honest.
I'll take it at this juncture. Murray's doing it because you're really afraid.
Yeah. I think the defense is legit, and I think they're going to be able to get pressure on Brady now with this hand injury, which has been lingering anyway, but now that it's officially listed, I think that's a concern. And I don't think that they've been all that great this year. I really don't.
Because you're Big Jim Worry.
Big Jim Worry. That's a great nickname.
You're welcome.
So guess who else is on the Jaguars bandwagon? Someone who actually knows where he's... One of our sharp friends.
Ooh. Don't know.
He's a sharp. Dan, the angry call screener?
Yes, Dan. Dan.
Dan knows his way around the gambling community. You may know him out there, folks, if you ever try to call into the show, if you get what we like to call a sports radio colonoscopy. He will, you know, basically give you a 20-minute interrogation before he puts you on the air. He'll actually do a pre-show where he will grill you before the show, before he puts you on the air. But that's Dan, the angry call screener. He writes an email of the day. Says, gentlemen, I only got to hear the first hour of the show yesterday, but I have one message for you. You have to stop taking the Jags lightly. Look, I have never been a big proponent of backing a bad quarterback and a good defense. Never. But I mean, it's hard to argue that's what has been successful this year. Unless, of course, your name is Tom Brady. Brady, Bortles, Keenum, Foles, you obviously know which one doesn't belong. Here's the problem. So he's saying that the trend in the league this year is bad quarterback, good defense.
Right.
He says, here's the problem. The Jaguars defensively are built to beat the Patriots. He says, I think we all know the way to beat Brady. Get pressure up the middle and play strong man coverage off the line against the wideouts. The Jags can do that and do that easily. Simply put, if you wanted to recreate those Giants defenses from 07 and 11, Tom Coughlin has done it in a short amount of time. Miles Jack is not given the credit, the linebacker, right? Not given the credit for the player he has become at linebacker either. He's nasty and he will fly around and make you pay. If the Jags have a weakness, it's over the top with their safeties. But as we know, the Pats connecting on long balls have been few and far between. Brandon Cooks, I'm looking at you. This defense, this Jags defense, may have been crap versus Pittsburgh, but they are built to beat you. All caps. Now, does that mean Jacksonville will win? Probably not. So why are you wasting my time, Dan? That offense is putrid. And if Belichick takes away Fournette, easier said than done. I disagree. I think taking away Fournette's going to be easy. But anyway, if Belichick takes away Fournette and the Pats hold the Jags to field goals, they will probably only need 20 to 24 points to win. Can Bortles lead the Jags to 20-plus points versus the Pats? I have strong doubts. But to say this will be easy is wrong. Stop overlooking the Jags' defense. They are built to beat you defensively. XOXO, Dan the Angry Call Screener.
I believe in all that.
So you endorse that bit of analysis?
Yeah, I do. I think he's right completely about the defense.
So I'm not entirely sold on the defense. I'll tell you why. Because I told you, I watched some of that San Francisco game, and Garoppolo was able to throw in the middle of the field to the tight ends and backs. And so in some way, I don't think their secondary matches up well against the Patriots. And when I say that, I mean...
So you rub out our receivers. Big deal.
Right.
Tight ends and running backs.
Right. It's Gronk. It's White. It's Lewis. Like, and even Amendola in the middle of the field. Like, to me, those are the guys you got to... I'm not worried about Hogan and Cooks.
It's Brady. It's finding where the soft spot is and picking you to death. That's what it is.
Sure.
So that's it. You know, it's not just the coverage is important, but that's why you got to get to Brady. Because even if they match up well in this area, he's going to find the other area.
I'm telling you, if I were them, I would not put Ramsey on Hogan or Cooks. I would not waste Ramsey on that matchup.
Okay, back to your phones. Phil and Rivera, go.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, for the last 2 days now, you've been given the reason why you don't get rid of Brady, because the rest of the league sucks and you can get over on them. I don't care how old Brady, I don't care if he drops 20%. He's still better than the rest of the league, and with Belichick, they can do it. And you guys are way overlooking our defense because they suck. I mean, secondary sucks. Everybody sucks. So those eight sacks, those were nonsense. That ain't going to happen this week. The Jags are a dangerous team, and you are overlooking them. I don't think the Patriots are, but we are. So.
Okay. We'll see. I definitely am. I don't give them a sniff. It's a quadruple bye. I don't give them any chance. But we'll see. I give Coughlin, Coughlin credit. We spent a lot of time on, I think Coughlin's a factor. I just don't think it's enough. We did have, I mentioned all the things we talked about today. We did do a little Red Sox minute, and Maz talked about Red Sox in dangerous territory here with pissing off Mookie Betts, taking him to arbitration. Andrew in New Hampshire wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, Maz.
Yeah.
It's a tone, man.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, Andrew?
It's a tone. It's the tone, but like you were saying about the, what's going on with Mookie Betts, I totally agree with you, because this is such a different circumstance with the Yankees, with what they're doing and, you know, how they're going about their business.
So, Andrew, did you knock off from work a little early today, bud?
Yeah. absolutely. But what I'm saying is, you know, we're not going to be able to compete with them. We're not going to be able to compete. And what's going to happen with Mookie is he's going to want to leave.
Okay, babe, don't drive tonight. Uber.
So, look, I told you, I think the Betts thing is a bad sign. And when I say the Betts thing, going back to last spring, they tried to sign him to a multi-year contract. He rejected it. And who was it that pointed this out to us when he was here, Murray? I don't even remember. Who said, you know, if you go back, it was Gasper. If you go back and look in spring training, they had to renew him last year. And what that means is that he did not agree to terms even in spring training pre-arbitration. They renewed his contract. So he felt sort of disrespected in some manner of speaking there. Now they're going to arbitration with the guy. The point is this, Mookie has dug in his heels. On every kind of contract negotiation with the Red Sox, he's dug in his heels. And I look at that and say, so now your best player, your most talented player, has given you no indication that he really wants to work with you on a contract. So not only can you not get Giancarlo Stanton or lure other guys here, you might have trouble keeping the ones you've got.
Well, and you say goodbye in 3 years.
Correct. Like, so I look at the whole thing and say, I'm really starting to worry about them longer term, too. Like, do these guys want to be here? I'm starting to wonder that.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Yeah, Coach, considering his history against the Patriots, Tom Coughlin, who a lot of people are crediting with bringing the Jaguars along, I guess how concerned are you that he's with that organization now, or your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I look at the team. It's a strong team. As I said, they're good in every area. Whoever's doing exactly what down there, you have to talk to them about that. I don't know. I just know what I see on the field, and it's a very good product. Sure, they're all contributing to it.
And again, that was it. That's before Byron Barnes. So the snot rocket. Then the question comes from Byron Barnett, who is my favorite guy to go down there. That and the TV guy from Providence, because all the writers hate him, I'm sure, because he asked the only time we ever use Belichick sound is when one of those guys asks him a question, because they're the only ones who ask him the interesting questions. And I'm sure all the Patriots writers shoot him dirty looks, too. Like, why are you asking that? You know, they mock Byron Barnett. I love Byron Barnett. Thank God he goes down there. It's the only time we ever use the sound. It's when Byron Barnett or that goofball from Providence asks a question. So God bless America. Thank you, Byron, again. And I think Marshall Hook feeds him the questions, either way. That is Byron Barnett, right? I mean, I keep saying that. It sounds just like him.
It is, Mike. You're right.
I'm just not sure why he's asking a sports question. Usually he's asking about Aaron Hernandez.
Because Marshall Hook, who works at Channel 7, writes his questions for Byron Barnett.
But I know Byron Barnett did sports stories. Either way, it doesn't matter.
God bless Marshall.
It starts with the snot rocket. Then
Thank
I get
you, Marshall.
Byron Barnett set up by Marshall Hook. And then I get Bill Belichick not giving credit to the one guy he should probably give credit to. Bill Belichick will sit there at these press conferences and talk your face off about the opposing team's punter or gunner or third defensive lineman. He'll talk about any manner of guy, unless that guy actually did something against him, then he shoots you a snot rocket and says, well, there's a good product down there. I don't know. You're going to have to ask them. Like, of all the guys to give credit to in Jacksonville, there's really only one, and that's Coughlin.
Yeah. And instead, Bill bent over, pulled down his pants, and farted into the mic.
And Bill, because he's still so insecure, I guess, or just can't give in to the fact that Coughlin beat him or whatever.
No, Coughlin owns him. But keep going.
So the one guy that he should say something nice about, he says you're going to have to ask them. But ask him about the backup punter. He'll talk your face. He'll tell you you want to faint.
No. Ask him about the length of the spikes they'll be wearing on Sunday and the blades of grass and which direction they'll be pointed in, and he knows.
But ask him about Coughlin. No, you're going to have to ask them about that. It's just so Bill.
I love Coughlin. I do. I love Coughlin.
Here's Alan Everett. Hi, Al.
There they are. Hi, guys. Interesting. Very interesting. All right, so the guy from Revere just called, right? He couldn't be more right. The secondary sucks. But guess what? They played, other than Roethlisberger, in the last 2 months, I think Jay friggin' Cutler is the best quarterback they've faced. Okay? Honestly, think about it. So, you know, Blake Bortles, and I know what Murray's saying, and I listen, the defense is good. But guess what, guys? How the hell is Blake Bortles going to outscore Tom Brady? I think you're right on with that. 2 points about the coaching. That's what I'm calling about. It's fantastic. Fellow, you hit it right on the head. One's about Tomlin. I'm going to get to that right after this. But nobody's pointed this out. And if I don't do it, nobody's going to. But guess what, guys? Going into Sunday night, has anyone even mentioned this or thought about this? Going into Sunday night, the five teams that were left, four of them were mentored and taught by Parcells.
Yes, I noted it. Yes, in fact, I tweeted it over the weekend.
Good for you then, Madge. I haven't heard it so. I heard a CBS said something, and I haven't heard it so. Can I ask you guys, get the stats, and maybe you can find them. Has there ever been two coaches, Bill Walsh, whether, that faced each other out of the final four? Never mind four out of five, if you count to Coughlin.
Okay, so it all goes back to Parcells. I don't know what.
It was a good weekend for Parcells, though. I mean, between Peyton, Zimmer, Belichick, like, it was a good weekend for Parcells.
Yeah, why didn't Parcells tell Sean Payton how to defend 61 yards of field with 10 seconds left and no timeouts for the opponent?
Because Payton can't take coaching.
Good God! I mean, what did Parcells tell him about that situation? 61 yards, 10 seconds, and the opponent has no timeouts. Why don't you tell him what to do there, Bill? Good Lord.
So do you want to compare Parcells' coaching tree to Belichick's?
Oh, it's not even close.
Blows him out of the water.
Blows him out of the water, which is still, you know, interesting. And we'll see. There's another wave coming here with McDaniels and Patricia, and, you know, we'll see. Mike and Methuen wants to weigh in on Bruins and Claude Julien. Go ahead, Mike.
First of all, I can't wait for the Rene Rancourt tribute video next season. So, I don't know if you guys saw the other night, the Canadians shot 52 shots on goal and still managed to lose the game, which is like the most Claude game ever. This isn't so much a complaint about Claude as much as it is the Bruins media in this town. Why is it so hard for everyone to accept that the game's passed them by? It's infuriating to read or watch anything that tells me anything interesting about Claude anymore. The game's passed them by. It's not difficult to accept, and why, nobody talks about it. And it's the same crowd of people that the second Rask puts together three good games. Everybody's like, oh, well, look at Tuukka Rask. Now all of a sudden, Tuukka Rask should be winning the Vezina every year again. It's so infuriating to listen to.
Oh my God, I read all the Bruins. You know, I'm a Bruins guy, and I read all the stuff. I've read all the Julien coverage in the last week. And I've read a lot about how he brought Brad Marchand along, and Marchand credits him for being the player that he is, and how he helped usher in that wave of young players from Krejci and Bergeron and Char, tell him that he deserves a lot of credit, he deserves his moment. All these great things about Claude. I read Boston Sports Journal and Joe McDonald about the five big Claude takeaways, the 2011 Cup, the 2013 Cup run, the Jack Adams Award, sticking with the fourth line in 2013. No one has mentioned that the Canadiens under Claude Julien are 27th in the league. Not even a parenthesis. Not even a parenthetical little reference. Claude Julien, parentheses, whose Canadians are in 27th place. No one's written it. Matt Kalman on CBS Boston Sports, DJ Bean, who I talk to all the time. No one mentions the fact that Claude Julien is about to miss the playoffs for the third straight year, even though he has a team talented enough to make it. The Bruins, the last 2 years under him, were more than talented enough to make it, and they didn't. And this Canadiens team, more than talented enough to be in the top eight, and they're in 27th. No one mentions it. Why is it? Murray, would you do me a quick favor?
Sure, what's up?
Tell me where the Canadiens rank in shots. I'm curious. I'm about to give you the most Claude Julien stat ever.
I'm willing to bet top five.
I want to know where the Canadiens rank in shots.
I bet it's number one in the league.
Can you look it up real quick?
I'm trying to pull it up. Hold on.
Or Stu. I don't trust Murray. It's hard. I couldn't find it either. But I'm about to give the most Claude Julien stat ever. It's something you won't read. You know, you'll read all the glowing stuff about the guy tomorrow.
They're fourth.
And listen to this.
Shots per game played.
Listen to this. The Canadiens are fourth in the league in shots. They are 29th in goals. Is that the most Claude Julien stat ever? 29th in goals. But fourth in shots. I heard that all the time when he was here. But the offense is fine. Yeah.
So the Bruins are 15th in shots and 6th in goals per
Isn't
game.
Isn't that refreshing? Isn't that refreshing?
Because they're getting good shots.
Oh,
now.
My God.
Because they have some playmakers.
Things you won't read about Claude. That's what this show's about today.
They have guys with skill, Felger.
Things you won't. Or they just, I don't know, they are more creative offensively. They put more emphasis on offense. I don't know. It's not just about floating in little puppy shots from the blue line. Those don't count. Those don't go in.
Yeah, that's what I said. You weren't listening, Felger.
Tom in Seattle,
I think Cassidy's giving Claude the finger.
Go, Tom.
Yeah. I know you guys didn't watch much of the Bruins game against the Canadiens.
I watched almost the whole thing.
Did you see when Charlie McAvoy went to check? I can't remember what his name was. And he pulled a Marchand and he ducked down under Charlie's. I'm hoping to see Charlie carry a little retaliation.
Well, Charlie tripped him and took a penalty with like 3 minutes left, right?
Right, but he also seemed to be animated, and I want to see if that part of Charlie's game is going to start sticking as a Bruin, where he's going to, you know, stick up for himself and defend himself now.
Yeah, Charlie McAvoy, welcome to the Canadiens. You go in there, you actually try and hit someone, they duck out of it like a little weasel, and then you retaliate, and they get the penalty and go on the power play with 3 minutes left. Welcome to Bruins Montreal, Charlie. Get ready for it for the next 15 years of your life.
So, speaking of the shootout, just quickly, how'd you feel about neither Bergeron nor Marchand being in the top three?
So, I didn't hate the... I didn't hate the. It was Pasternak. It was McAvoy.
It was DeBrusque, Pasternak, McAvoy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. DeBrusque went bar down, so I can't complain about that after the fact. Pasternak's your most skilled player, and McAvoy was 2 for 2.
See, I thought McAvoy should have been in the top three. So I
he was in. He
I
was
know,
the third.
I know. DeBrusque is the one that pissed me off, except he absolutely roofed one.
He did.
So I feel like Cassidy's going to grasp on it.
I'll say this again.
Can I just give you my one little nitpick with Cassidy?
Yeah, please.
In the early part of you, that driving me crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bruins are like 1-6 in overtime now.
Yeah, they suck in overtime.
Okay. And he keeps putting Krug out there with Bergeron and Marchand. Sit Krug's ass down and put McAvoy out there with him.
I like it.
Have you seen Marchand and McAvoy together in a 3-on-3? It happened early in the year. Do you remember it?
I don't.
It was breathtaking, those two. I'm telling you, those two on the ice together in the 3-on-3 is something to see. Sit Krug's ass down in the 3-on-3 and put McAvoy in there.
I like it.
Okay,
very good, Mass.
I'm done.
We have Dante and Linfield on Pat's Jags. Hi, Dante.
Hey, guys. We can both agree that coaching disparity is like the worst problem in the NFL. The only chance the Jags have to win this game, which they won't do because Marone is a complete jackwagon, is have Ramsey on Gronk all game. Congratulations, you're playing safety this week. But he's not. He's going to have his two corners shut down guys who are fully capable of shutting themselves down, and they're going to lose because they have no pass rush. They're going to beat him dick and dunk. That article is garbage. The matchup's terrible in the favor of the Patriots.
Maz, you agree with this?
Well, it is with the corners. The corners are not going to get used properly in this game if you put them on the wide receivers, if you put them on the outside receivers. If you're covering Hogan and Brandon Cooks with your two best defensive players, that's a waste. So, look, we compare. This is where I think the comparison of the Giants teams with the Jags isn't perfect. Those Giants teams didn't have great corners. They didn't have great corner play. They had a great pass rush, and they were, I would say, good linebacking core, and I don't even remember the safeties. I don't know the secondaries on those teams were great. I think putting Ramsey on Hogan or Cooks is a waste.
So why are we convinced that that's what's going to happen?
I'm not. This is why I've said to you, yeah. If I'm them, I put Ramsey on Gronk. I take a shot there.
Or either him or Bouye. I saw Pete Prisco breaking down that in that playoff game between the Texans and Kansas City a couple of years ago. They had Bouye on Travis Kelce.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Okay, so look, to me, that's what it's something like that. Now, look, Bedard was here the other day, and he says Miles Jack can cover. And so, maybe I'm underselling that.
There's no linebacker who can cover Gronk. There's only two safeties who can cover Gronk. I'd say Earl Thomas and Barry are the only two safeties who can cover him. There is no linebacker who can cover him. No one. I don't care how good this Jack is. There's no way.
I'd put Ramsey on him. I would. Because now, look, he's going to give up something because he's 6'2 or whatever he is, and Gronk's an absolute beast. But I think he's tough. I don't think he's afraid. And I think he can clearly run with him. I think he can hang in there. Ramsey should get Gronk.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you, nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, what do you got here? Four, maybe five pieces of sound here in the final word?
Five pieces of sound?
One, two, three, four. Four. We have four.
Wow.
Jump right in. As it turns out, not only does Felger hate everything going on with the drama behind the scenes with the videos for the Celtics, will IT get one? Is Paul Pierce going to allow IT to have it? All this stuff. It's the 40-minute phone calls, it turns out, you hate more than anything else.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe this. Danny and I talked about it for about 40 minutes, Pierce explained to ESPN. Let me stop there. 40 minutes. You've got to be kidding me. 40 minutes. 40? When's the last time you spent 40 minutes on the phone with anyone? Talk about wanting to blow my brains out. 40 minutes with anyone on anything? You've got to be kidding me. Never mind this Furkacta video. If I'm Danny Ainge, I'm considering Hari Kari right there. I got to listen to you yammer on for 40 minutes about your video. Paul, all right, fine. We'll tell the little kid to go away. Shut up already. 40 minutes? They had to talk for 40 minutes. Can you believe that? Oh, my God, the pain.
Fight. Blah, 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 blah. And it's my day, Danny, and I won a championship, and he did 40 minutes of that. Yes, Paul, I understand, Paul. Yes, Paul, I got it, Paul. Yes, Paul, I understand. Okay, well, no, I understand what you're saying, Truth. Yes, P. Okay, Paul. 40 minutes. This diva with the one championship that he was handed by Kevin Garnett yammers on about Isaiah Thomas's video. You've got to be kidding me. Danny and I talked about it for 40 minutes. So now Paul Pierce is saying Isaiah punked Danny. For 40 minutes, Danny has to listen to this. He punked you, Danny. He punked you. Why are you going to run his video? Yes, Paul, I understand, Paul. Okay, Paul, what do you want me to do? Well, I want some respect, Danny. When's his video going? When's my video going? 40 minutes. 40 minutes later, Danny's like, all right, Jesus, Paul. Fine. I'll tell him to go away. So that's what they did. Good God. But after listening to Paul's perspective for 40 minutes, I understood it and shared with Isaiah, and he understood it too. Oh, my God. Could you be bigger babies than all of you? Oh, my God. Paul Pierce, 40 minutes in Danny's ear. 40 minutes? 40 minutes. Well, when are you going to play the video, Danny? During the pregame or during the first time out? When's it going to be, Danny? Well, what about me? I was here for 17 years. I won a championship, Danny. What did he ever do? He had his chance. He punked you. 40 minutes. 40 minutes of that overrated diva yammering in your ear?
Doesn't matter who it is. A 40-minute phone call, it is hell.
Oh, death.
Yeah.
Death. At about 3.5 minutes, I'm done. You better get to it or else we're going to be texting because I can't do this anymore.
You know what the worst app on your phone is? Your phone.
The phone.
So get rid of that one.
Oh,
I don't ever want to make phone calls.
So horrible. 40 minutes.
Maz.
I'd like to live without my phone sometimes. That thing's a pain in the ass.
Maz reveling in the fact that he was right on DeMarcus Cousins today.
Thank you. You get a big guy who can score like that and block shots and rebound and all of it?
His range? So what blows me away, and I don't watch a ton of them. I watch highlights like everybody else. But watching a game is his range and the effort level to compete.
Yeah.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Especially when you put him next to that bum, DeMarcus Cousins, who I would like to... This is a take revocation. This is a take...
Revocation.
This is a take revocation. I need to take back this take or...
Thank you.
I
No, no, say it.
How
say it.
I was wrong.
No, not that. You were right, Mavs. You're right.
You were right, Mavs.
Thank you.
About DeMarcus Cousins. Oh, what a bum he is.
Oh, yeah, I told you. You wouldn't listen. I'm not
what?
Shocked.
No, what? I just a turd.
Scream here, yelling facts, yelling reality. I get totally ignored. I understand. It's all right. It's fine.
Welcome to my world.
Every once in a while, I'm right.
Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, was in for his weekly appearance. He hates the narrative that Tom Coughlin is looming over this game. Ah. So Tom Coughlin sang Sunshine Day, sort of, to Paul. 2-0 in the Super Bowl. You better remember that, each and every one of you.
The ghost of Tom
That's right.
Coughlin.
Here I come for that ass now, Pats fan. The Coughlin man is still in your way.
Ooh.
I'll scare you now. I just can't lose to Tom Brady.
Boom.
He'll never beat me in the playoff game. The Coughlin man is coming to prevent your parade. The Coughlin man is coming to spit in your face.
Boom.
You better all fear me, because I'll ruin your day.
Boom!
That's the Tom Coughlin way, don't you know? Afternoon there, Paul. You ready for me to tune you up?
I didn't think you could get more insane than you were over the weekend, but you did it.
Throw up those hands,
you
fella.
Did it.
I'm coming for you. Put up your dukes.
We have Maz isolated real quick there, too, as Jimmy is wont to do.
Love it.
The ghost of Tom Coughlin. Boo. Boo. Boo.
it's tremendous.
Paul will have to deal with more of that on Sunday.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.